Hi, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing Podcast 161. Hey, how's it going?
We did it. We're
Yeah,
back.
it's been just a little bit since we've recorded last. Although, if you're marathoning them, it's just been mere seconds probably since you listened to episode 160. So, you won't even know. So, this is actually how we recommend you listen to the shows. Just listen to all 161 of them back to back. So,
And then start over.
thank you for surviving the last 160 episodes of us talking. And now for more talking.
Last week was Back to the Future Day, and that's why we didn't record. We went Back to the Future. Two. The two of us.
Before podcasts, we went back to before
We
podcasts.
went to go watch ourselves record episode 350. And it was great. If it continues to exist in this timeline, it's gonna be great.
Well, maybe by the time episode 350 rolls around, maybe we'll have our empire will have grown and we'll have like a YouTube channel then, maybe, but maybe not also. YouTube announced some interesting stuff last week that I think is rolling out now, called YouTube Red, which is their subscription service model. So if you subscribe to YouTube and pay for it, then you get to watch a lot of YouTube. I'm not sure if it's everything, but definitely a majority of YouTube completely commercial free. As you've probably noticed, if you use YouTube at all, you've probably noticed that there are more and more ads as you use YouTube, and it seems to be it used to be kind of random, and sometimes you get an ad and sometimes you wouldn't. Now it seems like everything has at least one ad, if not two, and they don't just happen before, they happen like during the video. So for the privilege of $10 a month, you can expunge those ads from your feed. It sounds like a way to do it anyway. One
I don't think I
interesting
spent enough time on YouTube to justify that.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. Although what I think is funny is that there is a fair amount of content on YouTube that is very short. There's even a subreddit that someone pointed me to last week called, I think it's YouTube Haiku, and it's all like under 30-second YouTube videos, which I think is weird because some ads are longer than 30 seconds, so in that case, your ad is longer than your content, which
No, nothing makes me madder in regards to YouTube than having to watch a fucking trailer that you can't skip through before you watch a trailer that you actually want to watch.
Well, I would say, and that is bad. I would say that's amazingly annoying. The thing that gets me is the 5 minute long video for like 20 seconds of this is how this thing works. That kills me. But
Or they have a 3 minute commercial where you can skip 15 seconds into it, but you see, oh, I've got a 3 minute commercial, I'm gonna walk away. Then you come back and you see that you could have just skipped it.
there are things they have to work out, in other words, from the user experience model, at least for the non-paying folks. But what's interesting with YouTube Red is that they're essentially locking content creators into that system. So if you're a content creator and you want to make money off of your videos on YouTube, then you have to opt into the YouTube Red model of all of their stuff. And that's, that might be fine for some content creators, but what it's created is if you are a content creator that is part of a network, say like, that makes videos and you want to be paid by that company and not by YouTube, then it doesn't work. There's no kind of way to rectify that. And what that's caused is some content providing companies have just disappeared from YouTube because they didn't want to work with that system. So ESPN pulled all their content from YouTube, all of their video channels are completely zeroed out now because it's all or nothing with the YouTube Red licensing agreement. And there's other providers and other YouTubers that have kind of jumped off of YouTube. I'm not quite sure where they're jumping to. That's kind of a problem right now, I guess. I guess you can go to Vimeo, maybe. I actually am not familiar with other video hosting things.
What's the other YouTube?
well, that's another thing, is that YouTube Red is kind of an unfortunate name, in my opinion.
It's a very unfortunate name.
I find that it has a slightly different connotation when you have a video service and you put the word red in it. It sounds...
Right next to the word tube.
It kind of sounds... like a very similarly
a
named
different
porn
video
site.
Yeah. Yes. a different video sharing website.
Yes.
With videos that YouTube would probably not allow.
Right.
With the terms of service.
Yeah. Yeah. And the big hint
they're
is
a huge company.
Tube and Red.
They're part of Google, or which I guess is now part of Alphabet.
Yeah.
How does nobody notice that? Just because your design is red. You don't put the word red next to the word tube. It's already a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So YouTube Red, I think it's an interesting model.
Rename.
Yeah, very likely. I mean, who knows with Alphabet and naming at Google and all of their properties, it could be that everything gets renamed eventually. But one of the other things they're specifically competing with is using YouTube for streaming music. So they're competing with Apple on that. Apple and their what is it called? Is it just Apple Music, Radio or Beats? The thing that was Beats. That
the thing that I don't use.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Me neither actually. I don't know if I'm just too. I'm too weird about my media, so I actually stream all of my media out of what do I call it, Subsonic, which is a home streaming server. So I have the computer that I have all my music on in the house. I set it up so I could play all of that music wherever I am. It actually works fairly well. I mean, even over a cell connection, I use it to play music in my car, and it's all of my music, so I know I'm gonna like it. It does make discovery of music a little hard, but I also, you know, I'm okay with that. I can do that on my own for the most part.
So why did they choose that name?
Yeah, but
not a thing.
We I mean, I think good for them for creating a new model that seems to, at least on the face of it, be an all or nothing model from a viewing standpoint. Also, it sounds like if you opt in and pay for YouTube Red, then you don't get commercials. This is in contrast to, I think it's Hulu Plus, where because of weird things about licensing, some licensors of their content don't they just say, you know, we're gonna have ads in this, and that's how it is. And so even if you've paid for Hulu Plus, you will still get ads through certain channels, and that's
well, there's now actually a new plan from Hulu, which I actually just upgraded to.
Oh.
For $3 or $4 more, you get actual ad free. Because for Hulu Plus, you're not paying to get rid of ads. You're paying to be able to play Hulu on mobile devices and TVs,
okay,
rather than just through a computer.
Hmm.
And the new ad free, you actually get ad free streaming on all devices, except for some shows.
Yeah,
there's a short list of shows where you're still gonna have to. If you're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're still gonna have to pay. You're still gonna have to pay the piper with your time of watching crappy, the same ads over and over and over. But for everything else, it's actually pretty good.
Okay. I've been told that the ads for Hulu anyway are actually based on your like browsing preferences and things. So if you're depending on what you're, you know, going to on the internet, that's what those ads are built around. I don't know if it's as heavy-handed as like Amazon is about their like, oh, you looked at this shirt once. Let me show you this shirt every single time you log in. and I also don't know how the ads are. I feel like ads on video services are generally not to the same like quality level as ads on TV. It's like because you have a shorter amount of time to grab someone, you have to have the most inane ads ever. It's like whoever, they just found people who were making vines and told them, all right, these are ads now, make them the same way. And that's what most ads are that I see on streaming services. It's kind of sort of absurdist, but also kind of amateurish, and then really nice graphics around the product. It seems to be the way that goes. But in any case, ads, they're a thing. They're not a thing on this show, but they're also not a thing because we don't have any sponsors yet. If you would like to sponsor the Not a Thing podcast and have us say things that will not be stricken from the record or otherwise blocked because we don't have an ad-free version of our show. We don't have an ad-full version of our show either. So
yeah, all our versions are ad-free.
So if you would like to change that or otherwise have us say something that is complimentary to something you would like, do let us know. We would be happy to talk about that. Hashtag flat earth. speaking of non-flat earths, one of the things that lets or that is benefited by a non-flat earth is flying. A lot of flying uses what are called great circle routes, which use the curvature of the earth to have the shortest paths, that instead of, if you draw on a map, like if you're flying from San Francisco to New York, you don't just draw a straight line and that's how it is. It's actually a curve. And that's a long way of trying to bridge these two topics. The topic I'm going to about is about flying and the Department of Transportation, whom I was interfacing with these last couple days. I flew to and from Seattle over the last couple days. And one of the new interesting restrictions that they just rolled out, they're still kind of working with the copy, I guess, with the airlines and the TSA. But the deal is that you cannot bring e-cigarettes or any kind of vaping device that requires a battery. You can't bring them in your checked luggage. You can only bring them in hand carry. But even if you bring them in hand carry, you can't use the e-cigarettes on the plane. So this is kind of a two-part, not a thing thing. So first of all, vaping.
Wait, are you telling me that prior to this, you could vape on planes?
I think it was never explicitly said, and so I think people did it. I think
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's 100% not a thing. I actually am moving towards actively disliking vapors almost as bad as actively disliking smokers in public. And actually, I don't really actively dislike smokers in public if they're kind of keeping to themselves and they are aware of where their smoke goes. I've just found that most people who vape, because they know it's not smoke, don't care where it goes. And it just smells terrible to me. It's like, why are you vaping something that tastes, that probably sort of only like mildly tastes like bubble gum and then tastes like whatever else that is? It just, it seems like you could make better choices in your life about what you put in your lungs. But anyway,
or in your mouth.
Not vaping is, or yeah, not vaping on planes is now the law of the air, as the Department of Transportation is pulling it. But then what's interesting is you can't bring an e-cigarette in checked luggage, but you can bring it in hand carry. And the explanation that was given was that e-cigarettes have batteries in them, and batteries in a, I guess, depressurized environment or in a in checked luggage or in confined spaces, there's some danger of them exploding or otherwise catching on fire, and that would be real, real bad if they were in a confined space like luggage. But I don't understand why that doesn't happen in the main cabin of the aircraft, because it seems like subjected to the same kinds of issues. I don't know. This seems like a weird
thing. Did they have special batteries that are extra explodey or something?
Well, I guess the deal with e-cigarettes is that it's not like a AA. It's like it's higher voltage than a AA would be, but it's in a smaller amount of space, so they tend to be like lithium batteries. And I know there are things about, like, you can't throw lithium batteries away in a regular landfill. You're supposed to have them
shot into space.
Something like that. That would be the coolest thing to do. But into the sun. Shot into space into the sun is really the proper way to dispose of.
Was that the plot of the movie Sunshine? We're gonna launch a battery at the sun to restart it.
Right. Exactly.
Nuclear bomb battery, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then it turned into a weird slasher horror film.
One of the best movies until the last 15 minutes. What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. It was
this isn't 28 Days Later.
Sorry, Cillian Murphy. You can only be in so many non-zombie movies. But moving from e-cigarettes to lung cancer, sort of. Well, not lung cancer, but chest cancer. So there was a Spanish man who had a particularly malignant cancer in his upper chest area, and it was to the point where he needed to have some of his ribs and sternum removed because there was so much damage. And I guess it's a particularly rough place or hard place to deal with from a prosthetics point of view, because the structure of your ribs is so specific. Because it's meant as both a protective kind of thing for your organs, but also as a support kind of thing for all of the muscles that are around it. And you can't just like stick a plate in there, right? It has to be formed in a particular way. So some doctors in Australia have coordinated and figured out a way to 3D print metal ribs and sternum that they're going to implant into this guy after this like crazy amount of surgery, probably, and put it together. And it's a really interesting set because it looks really, really, really interesting. We're linking the story, of course, in the show notes. But they're not replacing like the entire rib cage. It's just like the front upper right quarter of the person's like rib cage. So it's it's the sternum. So it's that hard central bone, and then all the little bones that come off of it. Kind of in both directions, but not all the way over. And so it sounds like a really intricate kind of thing. It's obviously custom made for him, but he'll be, you know, soon more machine than man now.
They are using titanium. That's pretty metal.
It's freaking awesome. I like how this is going.
First titanium, then adamantium.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're just one step away from Wolverine, pretty much.
Except this guy clearly does not have mutant healing factor.
Yeah. Okay, all right, maybe two steps. Maybe
That's
two
why
steps.
Wolverine can smoke all those cigars.
Yes. Before the Weapon X program, he had horrible lung cancer. It was kind of Constantine levels of lung cancer, you know.
Actually, he had his mutant healing factor before the Weapon X program, Alan. They just gave him an adamantium skeleton and overlay for his claws.
Thanks, man. Thanks. This is why this podcast is on the air, by the way. We're happy to share our insights with you, the listener, as often as we can, really. But not that often, because sometimes we have to take a week off for whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But 3D printed metal ribs, totally a thing. I think the implications for this are really, really far reaching. You can do, depending on what you know, what works and what doesn't from this, I'm sure it'll inform a lot more things about, you know, what you can and can't replace in a human body with different prosthetics and different methods of kind of creating them. What's interesting, and what they don't really touch on, is what if you not if you needed something to be replaced with titanium, but what if you wanted something replaced with titanium? Would that be something that doctors would do?
I hope so.
I
I mean,
think,
if you have the money.
right. I'm pretty sure you're not gonna be able to sneak that in under your copay.
No.
Thanks, Obama. Right. It'll work. I think eventually that's going to become a thing. We're going to see stories of people electing to have you know, different titanium things put in their bodies. I mean, it's really just I mean, I feel like major league sports is gonna be where that's gonna happen. I mean, if you can do like a Tommy John surgery on somebody, why not just throw some metal in there while you're at it and a spring or something, and then it's great. It's probably more involved than that, though, maybe.
All I can think of is that scene in the movie Grandma's Boy when he's talking about getting the surgery to get robot legs. It's pretty risky, but it'll be worth it.
Well, in other 3D printing awesome news, someone has 3D printed a railgun, and it made the YouTubes and was picked up by a couple things. We're gonna link the video. It's pretty impressive, but he designed and built a railgun, which can shoot projectiles. I think it's like 500 miles an hour or 550 miles an hour. And the way it's powered is it has something like I forget how many capacitors in it that do it, but it generates, you know, like megawatts of power in order to kick that bit
Six
of.
capacitors putting out 1800 joules of energy per shot.
Joules, man, I don't know enough about units to know what a joule is versus joule is that's energy times work. Is that right?
Don't know.
Because like watts.
I just know how many that this one has.
Yeah,
And that would fire a projectile at about 560 miles an hour.
I've read some things about railguns and how they work, and you essentially are bridging a circuit with your projectile, and then when you throw the current through it at a really high rate, you're dumping all the electricity through it. It creates a current loop, and that current creates a magnetic force, and that's what shoves the particle down the rail, and then eventually it clears the barrel and then flies on its own to the target. But when I was reading a thing about how on naval ships, the concept of doing it is the same as this. It's just they have a lot more power. But the way it works is in order to accelerate things to beyond supersonic, it uses so much power, they're actually shutting the power down of the ship. So like the engine power, and diverting it to the railgun for the amount of time that it has to fire. That's a lot of power. So I mean, that's moving supersonic speeds, right? So this 500 miles an hour, you know, if it's portable, which it looks like it is.
It looks like the world's coolest super soaker.
Yeah. It's you do not want to get hit by this guy in a super soaker fight.
That would be very unfair if he brought that to a super soaker fight.
I don't know.
I'm just going to fire this aluminum projectile at you. It's water, man.
Those kids can be mean, though. Let me tell you, kids and their super soakers. It's not. It's just an arms race, right? You get the super soaker that was like, you know, the little pump thing, and then the other person gets the one that you charge by plugging it into the water hose, and then you get the one. I'm sure they have one that uses a compressor attached to it, and then you have a railgun. This is just the natural kind of stepwise progression of arms, right? Isn't it something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone eventually gets to the hose.
So I really hope that this guy published his railgun plans for 3D printing them on Thingiverse, and then maybe I can start 3D printing my railgun at the office tomorrow. We'll just see.
Someone in HR might have a problem with that.
Well, speaking of accelerated things accelerated to very high speeds, there is a piece of space junk that different space agencies have spotted and are tracking. It's a piece of junk that has actually flown past the orbit of the moon, so it's moving pretty fast in order to get out to that orbit. They think because of its shape, it's kind of cylindrical and hollow. They think that it's probably part of a booster rocket that ended up not falling to Earth and burning up. It's just part of a rocket that's been flying around, and it looks like it's actually going to crash into the Earth. So they've figured out with trajectories and math that it's going to fall into the Indian Ocean or on or around the 13th of November. Friday the 13th, by the way. If you know, are into weird numerology or movies about a camp
hatchet
serial killer.
Camp,
yeah.
Hockey face guy.
Yeah. But in any case, this the interesting thing is because they've been able to see it and track it, this is going to be the first, one of the first and largest kind of things that they're going to be actually able to track as it falls into the atmosphere and burns up. So there are going to be a lot of eyes on this when it goes in and hopefully completely burns up in the atmosphere. It looks like it's going to fall into the ocean if it does, if any of the pieces don't burn up in the atmosphere. But one of the thing that I've seen linked to this story more than once is that the designator of the object in space. And they do track all of the like bits of junk, so like parts of rockets and bits of solar panels, and some things are like actual like asteroids and meteoroids and those kinds of things. But they label all of them, and the one that they gave to this one is WT1190F. So if you look at just the letters, it's WTF. And so that's the thing I keep seeing when people are referring to it. It's like,
is this space junk sponsored by Marc Maron?
No, it's sponsored by stamps.com.
Right. Nailed it.
So on or around November 13th, if you're in the, I guess, Southern Hemisphere, feel free to check out, you know, stuff falling from the sky. It'll probably
gonna ruin some fish's day. some fish is gonna have no idea what just happened.
Yeah.
And is there's so much potential for calamity in the sea world.
Well, it will probably cause a really interesting fireball. Hopefully, not over a populated area in any way, because that tends to work out poorly. But
it just happens in Russia.
Yeah, that's right. That was so interesting by the sheer number of people that caught it on their dash cams, mostly because there are so many dash cams in Russia. That was fascinating. Really, really fascinating. It just goes to show, you know, everyone's going to have a camera as they tend to get, you know, smaller and lighter and more easily embeddable in things. More and more cameras out in the world. Hopefully not coordinated in some weird, creepy, big brothery way. But if they are, you know, we'll probably talk about it on the show and call it not a thing. So, let's see. Speaking of not a thing, that's our podcast today. It's just kind of short and sweet. We're glad to be back on the air. If you would like to be on the air with us, please just let us know. Email us, text us, or actually text us. We don't. If you know how to text us, that's fine. You can text us, but
it's probably the most direct way.
Right. Email.
It's 555-512-5555.
You can tweet at the Not a Thing Cast Twitter. You can talk about it on the Not a Thing Podcast Facebook page. The Not a Thing Podcast website has the HAL 900. You can just comment in there, and we'll find you. We'd love to have you on the show. It's fun having guests. We talk about all sorts of stuff and things, generally things that you bring to the table, and then we talk about that tends to work really, really well. But you can also just hang out and kind of co-host with us, sort of, as we go through our litany of fun things that we found on the internet. That's pretty much how the show works. And episode 161 worked out pretty well, wouldn't you say?
We did it.
Yay. I will talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Alan.